Okay, so we are up to laws of Tachnun. We are up to Halacha Hey. Halacha Hey, Chaf Beis, Sif Katan Hey. Now, a few things I want to mention, I forgot to mention last week. We mentioned last week Halacha Dalid, that if you do not have a Sefer Torah, you do not fall in the Filas Apayim. I mentioned the Minhag HaOlam. It's very common. You have Svarim, you have some, how many some I don't know. But if you have a significant number of Svarim, you can also fall Tachnun. And another important thing to mention is that in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, the Minhag is you don't need any Svarim. You fall Tachnun, if you're visiting, you're in the hotel, and there's no Sefer Torah, and there's not one Sefer, you can fall Tachnun in Yerushalayim. Because the Kedushas HaMokim. That is very, that is a well-established minhag. So the next time you go to Eretz Yisrael, this Tachnun, if we'll say the Tachnun, the Filas HaPayim, even without a Sefer. Okay, that's a very interesting halacha. Another thing is, I have to mention, is why do you fall on the left? Okay, b'derech klal, you always try to fall on your left hand. The only time you don't fall is you're wearing tefillin. You're wearing tefillin, so you have mitzvos on your left hand, so then you fall on the right. But when comes mincha, and you're not wearing mitzvos on your left hand, you fall on your left hand. Why? Because the shechina is always at your right side. So your left is the shechina's right. When you're facing someone, my left is your right. So you always want to fall in front of the right side of the person, the right side of the Shechina.
Like when you go there, always to Shalom,
bow to your left. Thank you very much. You bow to your left because you're to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the reason why you generally fall on your left hand. Again, if it's not possible, because you're in mitzvahs, then that is an exception. Okay, those are two things I left out from Halacha Dal. Halacha Hey, Kishem is Spalalim. When one davens bebeis ovel, oy bebeis hames. Now bebeis hames means there is no ovel. This is something that was done in ancient times. It's still done today. We have really devoted people to do this. Where someone dies and has no relatives. So they make a minyan in his honor. There's no one saying Kaddish. Some will say Kaddish in honor of the person, but let's say a person dies. So they just go to his bias. They make a special minyan in his honor, they daven. There's no ovel. There's no one there sitting Shiva. It's just the Beis Hames. You ever see this? You saw this? They went to the apartment daven. I remember someone in the yeshiva many years ago, and someone who was a balabas in the yeshiva, he lived in the yeshiva, and he was nifter, and the yeshiva, they did. They were very makban on this. They sent bachim every day. It wasn't a matter of money. There was no money involved. It was just, he was a very part of the yeshiva, this person, and he was tragic.
What does the last part of the Seif Dalet?
Okay, we have to go further. I'll talk to you privately because we did that last week. Okay? It's simple. Just you don't. If he's davening in the back room, you can also say Tachnun. You can fall on your face.
No, you see, as a Sefer Torah, there is.
Right, so let's say you're not in the Beis HaKnes, you're in the Ezras Noshim. You can fall on your fan. You can fall on your hand. Okay, it's over. Okay, so that's what's called a Beis HaMeis. Even though there's no oval, because we have to explain what this means. The reason when an oval is present, you don't want to say Tachman. Why not? You don't want to compound din with din. Falling Tachman is a sakana. You're basically saying, I want to give up my life to HaKadosh Baruch. I'm willing to give it all up. Sacrifice myself. That's a very harsh form. That's din. If a person is in a matzav, in a situation of harshness because he has suffered tragedy, you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to compound din, harshness with harshness. That's why me'ikar hadin, it's not proper to learn Torah Shabbal Peh at night. Torah Shabbal Peh brings out, according to the, we don't do this today, we're not on these levels, but technically speaking, Torah Shabbal Peh arouses harshness, midas hadin. Nighttime is a time of harshness, of din. Day is a time of rachamim, and Torah Shabbal Peh Mishnayis Gemara is Rachamim. So it's good to learn Torah Shebal Peh at night. At night you learn Torah Shebal Peh, you learn in Yonim of Rachamim during a time of Din. It will sweeten, it will soften, dilute the harshness of Din. But if you're going to learn at night Navi, Ksuvim, Chumash, Navi and Ksuvim, Din, at a time of harshness, or you're going to say Tehillim, it's not the proper thing to say Tehillim at night, because you are compounding Din with Din. Now that's true on a literal and a technical halachic sense. However, the Gedolei Yisrael have told us over and over, in our generation we are not on a level where our learning of Torah is so spiritual where it really makes a difference, and therefore we don't follow this whatsoever. And Adarabba, you can learn Navi, you can say Tillim at night. Okay, it's not the ideal thing to do. If you have a choice of saying Tillim by day and night, so then okay, so you'll say Tillim by day.
If you start out during the day,
of course you start during the day, because then it's Nishach HaYom. But even
Tillim during the day,
at night it's Amunah. Yeah, night's Amunah, because it's such hot. It's a time of dark harshness. Okay, but that's the same idea. We actually apply this in a lenient sense when it comes to not saying Tachnun. That since an Avil is in a state of din, a state of harshness, we don't want to overdo it and fall Tachnun in his presence. He's already suffering enough, let's not overdo it. That same thing that you would think that only it's only true when you have in front of you a mourner, a person who is an avelus. But when you go to a beis oval, you go to a beis hametz, there is no mourner. There is no person that's actually sitting shiva. It's just a minyan that's being conducted in honor of, in commemoration, or as for the aliyah of the neshama of the person that died. So there is no real din. There's no person that is actually in the matzav of din. No. Since this mokom, this place, is a place where we are commemorating din, tragedy, someone died, it's good enough of a reason why you should not say tachnun, and this mokom should not compound din with din. Let's read a few words.
From what time is Laila?
Laila is sunset. So, not sunset, I'm sorry. Say tzakacha when the stars come out. 15 minutes after sunset. 50 minutes after sunset is already called night. And from that time until midnight, until 1 o'clock, no Tehillim. 1 o'clock. No, well, it depends on now it's daylight savings time, so now it's 1 o'clock. In the winter, when they change it back to standard time, then it's 12 o'clock. No Tehillim. No Chumash.
I know.
No Navi. No Ksuvim. Because it's a time of Din. Yes.
You mentioned that they omit Tachnun in the base of
it. Yes.
But simultaneously, what's the significance of adding an extra capital to Amaseach of Nekorah?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I want to know why that's added
to
the theme.
Yeah, the theme of that. We always say Shir. The Shir Shal Yom always captures the theme of the day. Now we say L'David because now we're doing Chodesh Elul. During there's really a Shir Shiyam for every day, for Purim is a special Shir. We don't do this every single day of the year, every single semi holiday. So for Tu B'Shvat, probably you'll find someone that has a Shir Shiyam for Tu B'Shvat, for Tu B'Av, for Yom Kippur, for Rosh Hashanah. We don't do this. There are certain minhagim that have a special Shir Shiyam. In a base Avil, you have to capture the theme of the Avela. So you have to say the special Nizmarim. The two different mizmarim when you say tachnun, you don't say tachnun, which captures the theme of the beis avil. Let's go further. So kimishpalim beis avil beis avil beis hamis al pi she'in sham avil ein omrim tachnun zayin yimei avelus. Here's this very chiddush. Afilu b'mincha shel yom zayin. This is a very interesting insight into avelus. Even on day 7, miksas hayoyim kikuloi, the avil beis avil only. The Avil gets up from Shiva. So let's say an Avil is getting up from Shiva. And the Avil, he got up from Shiva early in the morning. And he's going away and his friends are there. And he wants to make a million in the house. So in the house, the base lives in Kerem Chiddush. There is still some degree of Avelus on day 7, even though he's not actually sitting Shiva. So the very interesting thing, people don't think of it like that. Mix the young Kukula, they get up from Shiva, they finish, done deal, go to work. Don't think about it. He's saying not like that. on the seventh day, even after the Avil gets up from Shiva, there is some residual Avelos. L'may nafkamina, if you make a minion for the Avil in that bias, where the Avil was sitting Shiva, there's no Tachnan the entire seventh day. Amazing insight. The minig is, when they return back to their home, they don't say even privately, it appears. If they daven privately, when the Avelim return back to their home, they do not say the entire seventh day of Avelos. But let's say an Avel goes to Shul. You mentioned that some places they have a minig where the Avel, but the Rabbi Taitis mentioned, Elizabeth, they named this Hakpada. I don't know if it's that correct. The Avil has to go Monday, Thursday, the Avil goes to the Beis HaKnesses. So when the Avil comes to the Beis HaKnesses, that means you get a bonus that no one has to say Tachnun? No. The Tzibur is not dragged after the Avil. It's only when the Tzibur comes to the Avil. But now when the Avil goes to the Beis HaKnesses, the Tzibur still has to say Tachnun. V'noigim shagam b'shuvim v'im yeshav b'Beis HaKnesses ein Tzibur negrim achadav v'im Tachnun elo she'ha'ovel ein oimer. Now, so it seems from this, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Avil on Yom Zayin, I don't know, I didn't pay attention to this, but I have to go look into this. Everyone agrees to this, that the Avil himself does not say Tachnun by Mincha on day 7. After he gets up from Shiva, he does not say Tachnun.
Same thing like when you go to Shul on Shabbos. If you go to Shul as an Avil, so you don't say Lechad, you don't say Kabbalah on Shabbos. You walk in there.
The Avil does not, but this is even on the seventh day.
The Avil is saying it, you just walk out.
But that's on Shabbos and you're still not Avilus. On Shabbos, you're still not Avilus.
Only by the Ashkenazim.
Yeah, but he mamish got up. The person got up. The person got up Tuesday morning, and now he goes to mincha Tuesday. Goes the morning. Goes to mincha Tuesday afternoon. So it says that you don't say tachman. That's what it says. But what about the Avil is davening for the amud? So the tzibur is saying tachman. I'm sure it's very common. The Avil gets up from shiva Tuesday morning. He goes to shul. So he's now mitoch shloshim. So the rabbi will give him the amud. Right after shiva, they'll give him the amud no matter what. And the tzibur is saying tachman. You haven't heard such a thing. They never say Tachnun. But generally, if you can say Tachnun, the tzibur is l'chora. Imagine that since the tzibur is not nigger after the Avil, and the Avil represents the tzibur, so the Avil also has to say Tachnun. I guess that's what it is. But let's say there's another chiyuv, there's a yard site, and they're not going to let the Avil daven mincha, so it appears that the Avil himself does not say Tachnun. The tzibur says Tachnun, but the Avil does not say Tachnun because it's his seventh day, and the seventh day he does not say Tachnun. Only exception appears to be when the Avil is davening for the Amud. He represents the tzibur. He is the shlech tzibur. The tzibur is not dragged after him. So then he has no choice but to represent them and say Tachnun. That's what appears to be saying here in this halacha. Okay, let's go to halacha of Vav.
Before we do that, very basic question doesn't seem to be addressed here. We keep talking about Tachnun when and where, but we never get to the how. It's assumed that you know exactly what a Pyan looks like.
Yeah.
It's a little safer. It's over here. Now, is it like this? Is it like this?
How you fall?
I don't know the answer. I don't know. It doesn't really say.
What do you call it? The Rabbi Shulman gave a musar over here one day after davening over there because he saw people between minyanim that he didn't like the way they were doing the tefillas apayim, and he gave an instruction once again about how to do the tefillas apayim.
Which was?
In other words, that your body has to be bent over. Should sit down if you can sit down. At least
right.
You should.
You have to sit.
And your body. The main thing was not how you hold your hand in terms of over your head, but that your body should be bent over. That was what he said. That your body has to be bent over because he saw people that were just going, you know, like.
Yeah.
He said you have to bend your body. That's the whole idea.
That's a little different.
That was what he made a point of saying in specific. You have to bend your body.
Okay.
What you just said, if the Avil is leading the services, and he's not,
it's his seventh day. It's the day he got up from Shiva that morning. When Avil gets up from Shiva in the morning, technically he does not have to say Tachnun by Mincha. Personally. because it's a, because he is an Ovel, it's a seventh day of Avelus. He doesn't sit Shiva, but there is some residual degree of Avelus that remains with him on day seven. And that residual degree of Avelus that remains with him on day seven, even though he's not sinning, exempts him from reciting Tachlin personally. Now he's leading. It appears that if he's leading, it's not just about himself. He's leading, he's representing the Tzibur. And the Tzibur does say Tachlin.
So how would the...
Privately, when he's not davening for the Amud. If he's representing the Tzibur...
Demonstration.
Which I once read through. He tries to emphasize, I think.
With your hand raised up?
Yeah, like
what about your hand? What about your hand like this?
That's how I always used to do it.
I don't know. I'd have to go look into it. You have to fall. David fell lefnei Aaron. Falling really is probably falling on the floor. You're bent over, like you.
Right.
You're bent.
Right.
So this is he's falling. Neifel al panav. You fall on your face.
So I saw this safer. I never had realized that, but I see a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I know about the safer. I used to look at when I used to have him in a certain shul. I used to always look at the safer. Yeah, a good part of it. Here's a few volumes. It's volume number two. There's at least another volume. It's a good safer. It's a very good safer. Yeah, okay. Now we go to all the different times where you don't say Tachlin. It's a fascinating halacha here. Let's just go to the halacha first. You don't say Tachlin in the Beis HaKnesses, Sheyesh HaMila. If there's a Bris Mila, Oy Shabal Shebahal Bris Oy Hasandik, the Baal HaBris, the father of the child, Oy Hasandik, Oy HaMohel, Mispalalim Sham. It's their Simcha. Three people are the primary Baalei Simcha of a Bris. The father, the Mohel, and the Sandik. Can you be all three? Can you be all three at the same time? What?
Can you have your hands?
Yes.
Can we stretch Beis HaKnesses to the 9 o'clock minute?
Chorinat. If you have two multiple minyanim, you'll find Rabban that will tell you yes. But generally, every minyan is its own Beis HaKnesses. You want to go say that in this building, since in this building there's a bris being celebrated, so all of the minyanim, we have 25 minyanim in 25 rooms, they're all going to be exempt. That's a stretch. That's a real stretch. Yeah.
But even if the mile
the next words.
For yeah.
Kids are off Shamil Rabbi Beisachet.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Krona, the joke, you know, you got him saying on Nacham Shilo show, he's a Michael, right? So he come to Shul where he got him. So he asked him, is there a bris today here or whatever? Yeah. He said, no. He said, they said to him, so what are you for us today, Rabbi?
No.
And he's very upset.
Rabbi Pertinsky, that's how he was a Michael, and he davened with a minion upstairs of Asikin. Every time he had a job, he gave a club.
Bob, no, wow, interesting.
But he had a job that day.
Wow, so that's interesting. If the Moyel, in Eretz in America, the minig usually is that you daven the place where you make the bris meal. It's very common, at least here in this neighborhood. You have a bris, davening is at 6 o'clock, and right after, or 6:30, and right after the davening is the bris. So people are coming for the bris. Most of them usually come for the davening. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not like that. And now in Lakewood, it's also not like that.
Right.
Where the bris is called for 8 o'clock, or 8 o'clock. Davening? That's your problem, not my problem.
Yeah.
We're not even having a minion. We're all davening local. There are 25 men, everyone has a minion, 25 men. We're davening local, we're seeking, we're getting ready. There's a hall, and the hall, we're making the bris at 8 o'clock. Come there. We'll daven local. There is certain places, like I know there's a very popular place in Lakewood where it's like a minion factory, and there's a hall. And people make a bris at a certain point at a certain time, and it's very convenient because in that same building upstairs there are a few rooms where there are multiple minyanim. So you go to the minyan you're comfortable with. If you daven locally, or if you want to come to the bris, you'll find the minyan a half an hour before the actual bris. But that means if you are davening in the minyan where you are one of these three people, you're the sandik, or you're the moel, or you are the father of the child, the entire minyan does not have to say tachlin because they are mishpatev to your simcha. Your simcha exempts them from the bris.
In the old days, probably when I was born, it was very common to have a bris in
one's home.
And the davening?
I'll take you a step ahead.
Well, I couldn't say for sure, but I would tend to doubt that the davening was not held in the home.
That's no shul. Then it went to the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it went to the house. That's okay.
They do that Shabbos.
The priest will take off from there because the bris is right on top of the davening.
I had it. They didn't want Shabbos.
They don't have gates in the hospital.
It doesn't have to be necessarily in the same place.
A lot of the Sfidim, they're willing to have the shiksa walk, you know, to have the bris and adopt in the shul, and they have the shiksa for the baby.
Yeah.
I had a bris on Shabbos, my own and one of my sons also.
Yeah,
we had the bris in the house, we had the davening in the house, and Peretinsky was the mutt. So he came to my house and we davened there, and I had to say the Torah, which made me have
three times
pouring rain, and have a minion on the porch. I mean, I have people outside waiting on the porch while the minion, we laid twice, and that kind of stuff. So
the hospitals.
After three kids, I had a
bris room.
And you weren't allowed to bring in food, all kinds of limitations. And they also had a list of mylim. You had to use one of the mylim.
Certified.
By the hospital.
Wow, interesting, very interesting.
The mylim used to go in the hospitals and give out cards.
I heard this, you got a sefer.
Yeah, sure. He was the authority.
He was the mile for my son.
It was my mile.
A final year.
No.
Zimmerman?
Zimmerman.
Mordechai Zimmerman. I would have had him too, but he was in the Bronx. He was in the Bronx for my first kid.
He was from Borough Park. He sent me Perry Minsky that time because they. He moved from Borough Park to Flatbush. So he told me,
I would have had Rabbi Zimmerman. He was in the Bronx.
He was in the Bronx,
and my first kid was on Shabbos. My first kid was on Shabbos, so I said, what could I do?
Okay, let's go further. Ein aymrim beveis haknesa sheyesh shamila oy shabal shabal bris oy hasanik oy hamoil mispalim sham av shamila tehei beveis achein. Even if the meal is going to be in another bayis, it does not matter because they're going, they all join in his simcha and he exempts them. So notice the difference between an ovel and a bal bris. An ovel who comes toch shiva to the beveis haknesa is too bad. Does not exempt. They are not mishtate. You know, it's an interesting idea. You're not mishtate with an ovel to the degree you're mishtate in a simcha. It's a very fascinating halachic concept that comes out of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. How you think from Vakeret? An ovel, you have to be mishtate with an ovel. It's more of a chesed. Toiv leches al beis evel, vileches al beis mishte. But you see in this halacha, that's not so. You see, we're mishtate from the baal simcha, we're not mishtate with the ovel. Next, ve'ein di mispalim mincha, if we are mispalim mincha, bebayis beis atinuk, koidem suda sabris, let's say it's not shachar, it's mincha, in the house of the tinuk before the suda sabris, oy be emsa suda gam kein ein oymrim, we do not say tachnun, aval im spalim liachar because amozen oymrim, then we say tachnun. So the people who are the baal bris does not exempt the people from that, from saying tachnun by mincha. That was the only exempts them from saying shachas. But in the place where the Suda is being held, even after the Bris Mila was done, that Mokom you don't have to say Tachnun. So the Bris was done early in the morning, and then having a Suda for whatever reason in the afternoon, and a Davening Mincha before, so even though the Bris Mila was already done, and now they're only having the Suda, and you're about to Daven Mincha before the Suda, that Mincha does not require Tachnun.
I was in a shul. The Mohel was in Minha time?
Yeah.
No time.
Because the Mohel probably had another bris to do. He was probably on the way to do another bris.
He did in the morning, and he did
in the afternoon. That's a chiddush. I'm not sure about that.
Avil, okay, let's... All 15.
Okay, I don't know.
If there is a bris, and a suda is in the afternoon, and there is another minion next door,
no, it seems not. Another minion. No, they're not connected.
Let's go
for the Aval. in mispalim liachar brichas hamazon. But let's say they daven mincha after you finish the bris. Okay, you have a late bris, and after the besuda is over, you daven mincha. The tzibur, even though they all participated in the bris milah, mechuyev to say tachna. That's a chumrah. Ach bal habris, but it goes without saying that the bal habris v'hatzandik v'hamoyel lo yomer af liachar brichas hamazon mishum diyom tov shalohem hu. The only ones that do not have to say tachna the entire day are these three people: the father, the moyel, the sandik. They do not say tachnun the entire day, and they have the power to exempt the people in the minyan if the bris did not yet take place. But once the bris has taken place, it's after the bris, it's not mincha. They do not have the power to exempt the tzibur from saying tachnun. However, they do not say tachnun. But if the tzibur is about to eat the meal in this location and they're davening mincha, then they also are exempt from reciting tachnun. Now, what about a yard site? Yeah.
Why should he enter for the mile? I can understand the Sunday.
Good question. He's doing a mitzvah. It's a very big mitzvah. It appears that since he's the one that's doing the mitzvah, he's the shliach. He's asking a very good question. He's just a shliach. So being a shliach, that makes you such a bal simcha? I guess so. Every hashliach, he says such a chiddush, that he has such power.
Sandok, he said that kol avonot mitkaper.
There are a lot of things called on this mischaper. A person is mavel midoysav, is also called on this mischaper. You have to know. Bris is, I guess, a very important thing. Yud Gimel Krisos. It's the covenant. Avram Avinu, ki oisi b'ni v'neichem, b'tim klal yishma kadosh baruchu. It's, I guess, something extremely choshev, which even the shliach, it's a very big chiddush. You're right, it's a very big chiddush. The shliach is exempt as well. Many times you find, I mean, not many times, but sometimes you find the father wants to do the Mila. So he's trained, he has some training, and supposedly, I mean, I'm very squeamish, but it's not such a big deal, supposedly, to do a bris Mila. And if you have a professional moil there with you, so he trains you, and he's there to watch, he's there to help you. In every case, the same. There are milos which are very easy. That's what I've heard. There are some situations, the child is born, is a piece of cake. It's like no big deal. And then there are situations where it's not so simple. That every child, there are cases where it's very complicated. They have to bring in very big professionals, even doctors, and sometimes they can't even do the bris. They can't even do the bris in a normal setting. They have to do it surgically in a hospital with anesthesia and so on and so forth. Every situation is different. And of course, today with the Metzitza B'Peh, that became a hot issue with Metzitza B'Peh of, as you know. Okay, let's go to...
Can I ask you one shout about this? I don't want to take a talk. Father is Jewish.
Yes.
And the mother is not.
Yes.
And the family wants, so therefore technically the child is
the
not.
Goy.
Are you allowed to do a bris halacha?
Yes, you can do a bris, but there's no bracha. There's no bracha. Goyim do bris mila. It's very common. They say today that it a certain type of cancer reduced by 50%.
Testicular cancer.
Another type of cancer. The penile cancer. Something, is that what it's called? Not testicular. There's another type of what? There's a certain that cancer in that part of the body, whatever it's called. It's reduced also. It prevents AIDS, infectious disease. Yeah. That's really the main thing. It reduces risk of AIDS by 50%. That's what I've read. I read this a few. I told this to someone. He told me it's a lie. Sheker v'chazav. He reacted violently when I told him the statistic. But I've heard it afterwards. Since
For a while they were against it, but now they push it again. They stopped it for a while. They said it wasn't beneficial.
Yeah.
But now they said again that
it is. It is beneficial. So even by the goyim, it used to be a very big thing by goyim. Every goy had a bris mila. Right. Now not so much. I remember years ago, Prince Charles has a bris mila, so they say. Mm-hmm. However, all of the royals had a bris mila, traditionally going way back. The first ones not to have a bris mila was William and his brother. What's his brother? Harry?
Yeah.
Princess Diana refused. She broke tradition with the royals and did not allow her children to have. I'm curious to know if Prince George, if he has a bris mila.
They don't usually talk about that.
No, you look in the news, I'm sure you'll find. Why?
Yes.
Yeah.
He every Monday, every morning.
Had a bris, at least one. They bring the baby to him.
Had a bris.
There, by Yasha.
He doesn't have to say
Every day. Every day he never says tachnun, because it's always going to be a bris, always a sanik, every single day, that's right.
So he doesn't have to say
tachnun. No, that's the halacha. If you are a sanik on that day, you do not say tachnun. There's a very beginning who the sanik is, you're very, very careful who you make the sanik. They say that the sanik has a hashpa on the tshuva. There are many stories where people say, they look back years later, 50 years later, and they say, they look at different children, and they look at who is the sandik by each child, and they can actually say, they see a connection between how the child developed in relation to who the sandik was. So it's a scary thing. It's not something you play around with, who the sandik is. More than once. There's a tradition you don't make the sandik more than once because it's a skula for ashiras. And yet, in the Chazal, all the Gedolim said they never saw anyone become rich from being a sandik. Yeah. You were present when Avodah Yashar was a sandik, yes. Okay, so the difference, you have to be very careful who the sandik is, who not to give it more than once. That's a minig. Not everyone follows that minig. Some people are, they like to give it. If they're happy with one person, they won't take any risks. If one child came out okay, you know, so it's not so bad to continue doing with that same sandik.
Some people that were poor,
they
are going to sell the sandik to someone who is rich.
Alright, these are not things that...
No, they are going to suggest that if you want...
Schoolless.
Is selling, pay
the biggest schoolless is just to be normal, and the biggest school is not to do the schoolless sometimes. Just be a straight shooter. Let's go further.
Not good.
Now look, don't get too carried away in schoolless. Schoolless are scary things. Focus on the ikar. Okay, let's look at one halacha over on the bottom. There's a fascinating inyan. Do you say tachnu when there's a yartzeit of a rebbe? Every day you can find the yartzeit, right? So who's today's yartzeit?
The big gadol.
I don't know who says yartzeit. Yesterday was Yar Sameach, or the Meshech Chochma. That was Shabbos. Friday was the yartzeit of Cook, right? Of Cook and of Shagaf Avraham Milovich was Friday. Shabbos was the yartzeit of the Meshech Chochma. And what's Sunday? What's today? What was yesterday? I don't know. It's a big no. It's not.
Many years ago, in Rabbi Frankel's shul, they had a whole list
of who's your site.
Don't have it anymore.
And then, they didn't say tachnun in those days.
No, they didn't say. Maybe we shouldn't say tachnun today.
So they say. The joke is, every day there's a yard site. So one day they couldn't find the yard site. So they said, "Oh, it's a yom tov because no one died today." So we won't say tachnun.
After you should don't say
what?
They
don't say tachnun. Some rebbe, yes. So they don't say tachnun. Some, of course not. Okay, let's look what it says. Look what it says over here. Aleph. Einam tachnun. Ein v'nimukei orchaim. Tohoshen nohagu bekamo kaimos lehachzir tachnun, to remove tachnun al yom pekuda. What's yom pekuda? A yard. It's a very nice term to know. Pekuda means to be visited, a day that the neshama is visited. Either means in Shemaim or means b'di Adam. Shalat tzadik. Yesh loy mekar. What's the mekar? Dafka be. In that city, why? Here's the key thing. Because everyone goes to the kever. The entire community is involved in this. The entire community is involved. They feel they participate in this Yom HaDirigla, this day, which is a partial festival. The Yom HaDirigla, Haynu Yom Shemes Adam Gadol, Kaivim Oso L'Chvoidoi, Umideshana Bishana, Kishmagia Oso Yom, Miskapsim Talmidei Chachomim, Mikol Siva, Vaborim Al Kivro, Im Sharcham, Lohoyeshev Yeshiva Sham. They go there to establish a yeshiva, to learn Torah, and to do things in honor of this Nifter. Ad Kan Shainoi Rashi. V'im Kain, Kisha'enoi Nikbar Sham. Okay, here is the catch. So today there's a yard. Oh, whose yard site? Oh, some rabbi. Where's the rabbi buried? Oh, somewhere in Poland. Who knows where he is? You don't even know where he is. V'imkein kishein nikbar sham v'loy bo misivivav. And no one's going there. He's not buried locally. And no one's going to his kever. Ain lezet tam. There's no reason whatsoever. Lahachzer tachlin ki ain l'chayyim shein bo yard site. If that's the case, he'll never say tachlin, because every single day we have a yard site. Meharbe goinim ukidoyshim la'alofim urivavo sukvar kosvat hayisus. The after aminin tefilas arvis reshus afilu achi ain levatul b'chinam. Even though it's reshus, you shtam levatul b'chinam. V'hachinami av shetachnon hu reshus mikol makom ain levatul b'chinam. So it's very, very strong. A beautiful idea. The only reason why you say that it is that you, it's a taka true thing is not coming to this concept. Your tachna is a rishus, but you don't. But it's no. It's a rishus like ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is also a rishus, but you never heard of a person saying I'm not going to daven ma'ariv. Of course, you're going to daven ma'ariv. Same when it comes to tachna, it's a rishus. But of course, every person going to daven, going to say tachna. So here comes a rabbi kiddush that a yard site indeed really is yoma derigla. It's a yomtiv. It's a yomtiv because the neshama has an aliyah, and when the neshama has an Ali and Shemayim, everyone comes together, they go to the Kever, and they learn, they do things in order to assist that in Shama Shrav and Aliyah. But that's only if everyone actually participates in this Yom Tov. You're not participating, it's a joke. There's a person who died, and you're not participating, you're not learning in his Chus, and you're not going to his Kever, you're not doing anything, and no one's coming together. That's not a reason to be Levatel Tachna, especially since Tachna, if you're going to that take approach, whose logical conclusion, you'll never say Tachna, because every day is going to be your turn for someone else. Yeah.
Are you allowed to learn at a
kever? No. I asked a child to someone,
that's
no.
Loig Larosh.
No, so when it means you learn, it means you learn at a distance, more than Dalai Lama's away. Okay. You learn more. It's not proper to daven by a kever either. Well, I asked a child, it's Loig Larosh. You're not just like you're not supposed to, you're not supposed to wear tzitzis out, you're not supposed to daven, you're not supposed to daven mincha. You can say Tehillim. Tehillim you can say, because Tehillim you're saying in honor of the nifter. But to daven, let's say you have an obligation to daven mincha. People make minyan for mincha, right? It's getting late, they make a minyan for mincha. You can make a minyan in the office, or make a minyan on the side, all the way on the road. Don't try to distance yourself as much as possible from the kever. Let's say, I know I had the shot, let's say a person is a shomer. It's a very big problem. Let's say you're a shomer for a mace, someone dies, and there's the inyan that there should be a person, a guardian by the body, and you have to daven. You have to daven mincha, you have to daven ma'ariv, you have to daven shachris. Are you allowed to daven shachris, mincha ma'ariv, in the presence of the nifter? No, you're not. So basically what you do is, so you go out for a few minutes. It's not the end of the world if you're a shomer. You don't have to mamish be a shomer every single second. You can go out for a couple of minutes and daven mincha outside the room in a different location. It's not proper to actually daven in the presence of the nifter. And here when it says you're learning, it doesn't mean mamish learning in the presence. It means you're learning at a distance in honor of that neshama. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll take a little break.